Hiya, welcome to another episode of Dark and Spooky, a horror podcast with me, Miss Dark and Spooky, aka the girl next door, your host. So how the devil are we all been, my friends? Have we all had a good week? Got plans for the weekend? Today's episode, I'm going to be giving you some stories. So are we all sat comfortable? Let's go. I'm obsessed with my roommates cooking. I found them on Craigslist. Three fun college friends looking for a roommate to vibe with. The owner was a tiny blonde with enough enthusiasm to cast my gaze away from rat droppings on the floor. Her name was Lisbeth, and she looked exactly like a Lisbeth. Untidy blonde hair hanging in loose pigtails, a plastic apron over scruffed denim overalls. "So you're an artist?" I asked. Lisbeth didn't turn round, sliding in her stripy socks. "Nope, I'm actually a writer." Maybe she was embarrassed of the paint splatters. I already knew the house was perfect for me when I walked straight into a game of Mario Kart. Two guys were arguing over the startup screen. There were already bowls of fresh pasta on the coffee table. I noticed an extra one, and the smell was insane. I didn't realise I was drooling until I had to wipe it away with my sleeve. One of the guys dropped his controller, shooting me a grin. His red hair was a little too red. "Alex, right?" His smile was friendly. He introduced himself as Nathan, while the brunette was Finn. "We knew you were coming," he nodded to the bowl. "Dig in." I did. Slumping on the beanbag and grabbing my fork, it tasted amazing. The exact amount of spice, a thick consistency, the mincemeat driving me to finish my bowl and ask for seconds. I moved straight in. Finn cooked for us every night, and I lost myself in a blur of tasty meals ranging from homemade lasagna to chicken Alfredo. The food was restaurant quality, and I cleaned my plate every night. Hungry? No. Starving for more. It became an addiction. I stopped going to class, instead waiting in my room, my legs jittering for more of Finn's cooking. It was 9 p.m. when the front door slammed shut downstairs and I jerked awake, drool already dripping down my chin. I was so hungry. Jumping to my feet, I staggered at how fast I was. I was starving. And Finn was back, which meant food. Making my way downstairs, I didn't remember walking down them. I was at the top and then I was at the bottom, my breaths laboured. Immediately, I could smell our meal, the aroma forcing my legs into a stumbling power walk to the kitchen. When I opened the door, I was hit in the face with the smell. The three of them looked up. "Alex," Lisbeth saluted me with her wooden spoon. "Do you mind grabbing me the salt from the cupboard?" Nathan's red slicked hands were buried in a woman's abdomen, while Finn had sliced open her skull, scooping out her brain into a plastic container. I could feel my body spasming with fear, a scream clawing its way up my throat. Why was I smiling? Grabbing a meat cleaver, my mouth was watering. "Run!" Why was I dropping to my knees? "Run!" Why was I joining them? I think I'm going to like it here.
Thank you.
husband doesn't want to quit drinking. I never realised how much my husband drank until I got pregnant. I guess I was drinking a fair amount myself. 9 months of sobriety, I asked him to abstain with me, but he wouldn't. After I had our daughter, I never felt the need to drink again, but he started drinking more. There were lots of sleepless nights. Our daughter, God I love her, was a horrible crier. How could such a little angel make such a horrible noise? I knew things had to change when I came home from a morning shift and he was drunk at 1 in the afternoon. I got upset with him and he struck me. Once he sobered up, he promised he'd never drink again. Got on his knees and begged me to stay. I agreed, as long as he stayed sober. He dumped his liquor collection down the drain, except one bottle. His father had gifted him some Macallan whiskey. It was expensive and the last thing my father gave me before he died. It never sat right with me. I was worried something might set him off and he'd be right back into the bottle. So when he wasn't around, I got some rat poison and dosed the bottle. Several boxes, to be sure. If he ever drank, even a drop, it would be his last. But he never did. Weeks went by, soon 6 months. He was much happier, more positive. He laughed like he hadn't in years. I came home from work and he was rocking our daughter delicately in his arms. She was so quiet. Oh, she's so peaceful. You should have heard her earlier. Was she being fussy? Wailing. Must have been teething. How did you get her to stop? An old wives' trick. A little whiskey on the bottle. Home from work around 6 p.m. Traffic was horrible and I couldn't wait to take off my suit, grab a beer and watch some old reruns of Impractical Jokers or something. So basically a usual evening. But when I approached my door, I heard my dogs barking their asses off, which was really strange because my dogs never barked, ever. I played it off assuming that they heard me walking up and were just excited to play. But when I opened the door and stepped inside, they were nowhere near me. They were cowering in a corner, barking at my sliding glass door. I assumed that another creature had wandered its way onto my patio and would soon wander off. I got changed and grabbed a drink, but my dogs were still barking. I figured I'd go outside and scare off whatever was back there. But when I opened the door, my dogs didn't go out running to try and get whatever was out there. They did the opposite. They whined and ran down the hallway and into my bedroom. I thought that was weird, but I brushed it off and walked out back. I looked to my left. Nothing. I looked to my right and caught a glimpse of what appeared like a 7-foot-tall creature disappearing to the side of my house. I jumped and was quite startled, but I knew my mind was just playing tricks on me. Or so I thought. I walked round the corner of my house and there I was met by a large husky sitting there, smiling at me, its eyes wide open, but not in a way that it was scared, in a way that made me feel like I should have been scared. And I can't lie, that damn dog scared the shit out of me. It's just its dead look and weird smile. There was something so unsettling about it. I went back inside. My dogs would not leave my room no matter what I tried. I sat down and turned on the TV. and was fine up until about 15 minutes ago, when I saw the dog sitting at my glass door, smiling at me. I was scared at this point because I saw nothing in my peripheral until that dog was sitting there. It was like it just appeared. I snapped a photo of it and posted it on my neighbourhood app, asking if there was anyone's dog, and if so, could they come and get it? Immediately, I got a comment on my post telling me not to look away from it, no matter what, and to call animal control. This gave me a horrible feeling in my gut, but I figured whoever made the comment was just trying to screw with me. I called animal control anyway, just to get it away so my dogs would stop whining. But when I described the animal, they hung up. Now, this is the part where I need to mention I live alone and my nearest relative, an uncle, lives in Tennessee, a 4-hour drive from here in Georgia. And there's no way he's going to drive 4 hours just to call me a pussy. So that's where I am. Just me, my worries, and then this fucking dog. I'll update you guys if anything else happens. Right, okay, I'm fucking scared now. The dog is gone. I looked away for a split second and it just disappeared. I don't know what the hell's happened to it. And I don't know why I'm so scared, but I am. I subconsciously listened to that comment telling me not to look away from it. I don't know why I did. It was just something about that gaze. That intoxicating gaze, but it's not in a good way. It made me sick to my stomach, like the dog wanted to hurt me, and I knew it. It's 11 o'clock and I just want to go to bed, but I can't. My brain won't let me. My 3-year-old golden retriever Bella just came running out of my room barking. The sudden movement and noise scared me. But the thing is that scared me more was the fact that my 5-year-old pug, Chuck, didn't come running. And there was no barking coming from my room either. I was so irrationally scared, but I knew I had to go check and see what had happened. I got there, but the door was shut. How could either of them shut the door? I opened the door and stopped in my tracks. My heart sank. Sitting there was that husky, smiling at me. That horrible gaze staring daggers into my soul. And I couldn't find Chuck anywhere. I called the cops and they told me to leave the area and go and lock myself in the bathroom as if it was a stray and could have been dangerous, so, you know, rabies or something. But I just couldn't. Something inside me knew I couldn't move or look away from this creature. I don't think I can even call it a dog anymore. I sat down and stared at it. It's been 10 minutes since I've sat down, but it feels like it's been 10 hours. Something much worse is going on. I don't know what the thing wants or what it's capable of. I'm sat here doing this voice to text telling you guys this. It's a cry for help. Someone please come help me. I will keep you updated. Jeff, a resident of Dayton, Ohio, was driving with his 3-year-old son, Miles, in the back seat when they passed by a cemetery. It was a modest cemetery with only flowers and small plaques. It basically looks like a giant garden, Jeff explained. According to Jeff, as they drove by, his toddler, who had been happily singing, abruptly stopped, pointed to the cemetery and exclaimed, "Look at all those people!" Jeff turned to look but didn't see a soul. Confused, he asked Miles what he was talking about. "All those people over there," his son replied. "There sure are a lot of grandmas." As Jeff tells it, chills ran down his spine as he asked his son what the people were doing. "They're all standing there, looking down at the grass," Miles said. Completely unsettled by the conversation, Jeff sped up and drove home. Later that same day, he says his young son was watching TV when he turned to Jeff and said, "You know, they weren't alive." Thinking Miles was referring to the cartoon, Jeff asked what he meant. "Those people we saw, they were all paused," his son replied. "I don't know if my kid has thick stens," Jeff said, "or if he just has a wild imagination." Do you like watching horror films but wish you had someone to watch with? Miss Dark and Spooky from Dark and Spooky, a horror podcast, has brought you just that. Join her on Discord where you can talk to other horror fans and take part in watch parties. Link is in the show notes. Got nothing to do on April the 20th, 8 p.m. UK English time? Why don't you join Miss Dark and Spooky's Discord and join the first watch party for A Nightmare on Elm Street? The link is in the show notes. The Stanley Hotel in Estates Park, Colorado, has been around for more than 100 years and was built as a posh getaway for the wealthy seeking solitude into the mountains. As the years passed, however, occupancy declined, and by the 1970s, the Grand Hotel had fallen into disrepair. It was around that time that the famed author Stephen King spent the night there and was inspired to write the book The Shining. The book and blockbuster film helped return the Stanley to its former glory. Now guests come in droves to see the hotel that inspired one of the scariest horror movies of all time. Given its history, it should come as no surprise that many visitors report strange happenings. Aware of the ghostly rumours, Texas resident Henry Yao booked a last-minute getaway in April of 2016 to check it out. After arriving, Henry had dinner, then wandered around the Stanley to take photos, stopping at the staircase. He waited for people to clear the area, then took a picture, thinking nothing of it. Later that night, however, Henry fell seriously ill. "I felt really sick. I had the shivers. I was like, something's really wrong." His companion suggested he go to the emergency room, but Henry refused. On the trip home, Henry began swiping through the photos he had taken when he discovered what he said was a really, really strange image of someone standing on the stairs. Except no one had been there. The next day, he posted a photo on Instagram, half jokingly, that he had captured a ghost, and the world took notice. Almost overnight, Henry found himself in the limelight with his ghost picture, warranting attention from global media outlets and paranormal experts who wanted to examine the photo. Some experts say there were two ghosts, and other people said that the reason I got sick is because the ghost was trying to materialise, taking energy out of me, he said. There were so many theories about this. And what does Henry think? "I have no idea," he says with a laugh. The ambulance company that I used to work for had a haunted ambulance, Rig 12. A lot of EMTs had stories about it, but I never put much stock into paranormal stuff. That is, until I had my own experience with Rig 12. My partner and I were working in a rural community at 3 a.m. and it was pitch dark and completely quiet. We were both dozing. I was in the driver's seat and she was in the passenger seat. I woke up to a muffled voice, but I thought my partner was talking. I told her I was trying to sleep and closed my eyes. I distinctly heard a male voice say, "Oh my God, am I dying?" Followed by a few seconds of heavy breathing. My partner and I sat up straight and looked back into the patient compartment where it sounded like the voice had come from. Things were quiet for a couple of seconds. Then we heard the click of an oxygen bottle regulator and a hiss as if it was leaking. I turned on the lights and we ran out of the rig. I thought a patient might have climbed in while we were asleep, so we opened the rear doors. No one was there. I checked the oxygen bottles. Neither was open. We didn't get much sleep after that. When my daughter was like 3, she always slept in the pitch black. No TV on for light, no light, nothing. One night, when putting her to bed, she said, "Mummy, make sure the curtain is closed. I don't like to see Daddy's shadow walk around the room." She wanted the room so dark so she couldn't see the shadow. This freaked me out. Her dad never goes in a room at night and he's the only man in the house. That room's closet always freaked me out, like I would get a vibe that I was being stared at by a guy in a military uniform. One day we went into the attic to store some winter clothes away and found an old army duffel bag filled with some guy's military stuff. That really freaked me out. We moved not longer after that. That's it for today's episode, so if you have liked it, please do give me a follow on whatever platform you listen to your podcasts on. If you can, also please give me a rating and a review. It will really just help the podcast get seen by more and more people. If you are on social media and you don't follow me, I am available on all of them. So I'm on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok and YouTube. All the links are in the show notes. If you can, please do tag me in your Instagram stories of you listening to the podcast and everything. It will really just help me out and it will just get seen by more and more listeners. If you also want to see the face behind the name a bit more, my personal Instagram is melj_0777. As always, if you have your own stories or ghost experiences you want to share or even movies that you want me to review, you can send them in to me at darkandspooky13@gmail.com. They can be anonymous if you prefer, so please don't let that put you off. And also, if you just want a shout out or birthday shout outs, I can do them on up and coming episodes, so don't be shy. All that's left to say, stay spooky, and I'll see you on the next episode.